Welcome to Mucho African Radio, Halifax, Nova Scotia. You're here on the show called Our Seat at the Table, telling our stories our way. And today in the studio, we have one of our very own proud son of the village, Preston Township, North Preston in the house, Castillo Clayton. That's right, folks, you heard us, Castillo Clayton. He is here to talk about his upcoming fight, February 2nd, 2024, at the Scotiabank Center. And we're so delighted that he's here. And I'm just not going to talk up the time because I want to delve into all of the good stuff that he's doing in terms of preparation and we're looking forward to. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So thank you for taking the invitation and taking the time. I know you're in prep, getting ready, and the show's, in a week or two?
I want to say about, 5 days now.
5 days. You're counting.
Yes. this right now is probably one of the parts where we do count.
Right.
The weight loss.
Right. Yeah. Wow. Did you say weight loss?
Yes.
So it's reverse. You don't want to bulk up. You want to slim down.
No, right now we got to slim down and start to get into that phase where it's we gotta get that weight.
So what weight are you clocking?
This weight is we're going at 154.
154.
This is junior middleweight.
Okay.
This will be my first fight actually there.
Right.
So I actually moved up for this fight.
Wow. Okay. So let me, I'm getting ahead of myself because I'm too excited. But this is the first time in your own hometown that you're fighting. And not only that, because we'll come back to this, but it's during African Heritage Month. How cool is that?
Oh, that's awesome. this is something that I've been wanted for a long time. I've been fighting for amateur pro for over 26 years. And I mean, like I said, even when I was pro, I've been always asking, I want to fight back home. This is where I want to fight at. Right. I'm just so happy now that it's happening. And like you said, I mean, to be actually happening.
Well, you're kind of kicking off Black History Month, second day.
So, that's a blessing as well. So, I'm very, very happy that it's happening.
Right. And what's the vibe? Because I know what the vibe is around town, but what's the vibe at home and in the community?
Good. Everyone's loving it. Everyone's all over it. I mean, like I said, it's really a dream come true. I've done a lot of things in life, but like I said, I think coming home, fighting in front of my own fans is something that I've always felt that I wanted to achieve.
Right.
I think just the fact that having everyone behind me, seeing a whole different side of what the boxing game is, I think it's an amazing feeling.
We're going to be there making a lot of noise. Watch out, Halifax, because Preston's coming. So I can't say enough that we're so proud of you and take that with you. You're our champion. Win or lose, but win, because that's the prayer. We're winning. And but have fun in there.
Yes, always.
Right? Always. What do you... in prep time, because I think you said it's been a year, right?
What, 16 months?
16 months, okay. Yeah. So between that time, the last time, until now, what has been the process? What have you been doing?
To be real with you, I think I've just took a little step back and just, I've been fighting for a long time.
Right.
I mean, everyone that knows me knows it's always been fighting, always boxing, training, all this there. I didn't have no time for me and the family. I mean, like I said, I was living in Montreal, in Ottawa. We were overtraining in Vegas. So it's like I've always been gone. And my kids, I don't feel they had enough time with me.
Right.
So I think it was more for me to...
Do family time.
Yeah. Really be able to... They're starting to get into sports now. And I'm trying to get around that now. And like I said, just trying to be a father to them and see them grow. And my time is eventually going to come. So I want to be able to be on them and be a father to them.
Yeah, I love that. I love when dads aren't home. I do. And I know your wife probably... I think you have a daughter, right?
Yeah, I have two daughters.
Two daughters, and you have three sons?
Three sons, yes.
Wow, that's a lot. Is there any more left on the way?
No, we crossed that bridge a long time ago. I'm done with it.
Well, I think they appreciate having dad at home. And, even for little girls, we love when daddy's around. Like, mommy's always going to be there, but we love when daddy's around. And your sons, do you think they are aspiring to be following your footsteps?
They are. I think they will. But like I said, it's something I wouldn't force on
them.
But, I mean, if it's something that they do want to do, I will be behind them 100%.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it's a lot of other sports that they like to try, and we'll let them try that. And if they come back around, I will be there for them.
Okay. I see you sporting Toronto hat. What's going on with that?
Right now, I'm a Toronto fan. I'm always a Toronto fan. I mean, Toronto is still, like I said, especially for the NBA,
right?
It's still one of the movies.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, that's so do you, you're also into basketball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's your team?
Everyone gets after me. I'm a LeBron fan.
Okay. Hey, so, I can't hate on that.
I go where he go.
I think I'm the best spectator ever. I'll go and make a lot of noise and cheer for both teams. That don't matter to me. But I just like the sportsmanship around everything. Yeah. So hopefully, like, you know, sitting in the seat watching the boxing match. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, right.
I might scream, say, "Get your hands off him!" But that's okay. I love the fact that it brings people together.
Yes.
Right? And all the rowdiness and everything like that. Okay, so let me just move on to my questions, because we can sit here and talk all day, but you don't have that time. So in terms of your proudest moment as a fighter, what is that one for you?
Wow. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Proudest moment as a fighter. I still would have to say the Olympics.
The Olympics, yes. What did you like about it?
It's just everything. Just the whole atmosphere, the whole, like, meeting other people over there is just, like I said, it's just the open ceremony. Like, it was the whole feeling.
Life-changing moment,
yeah,
like say,
the way everything is, the open ceremony, the closing ceremony, just everything around it, seeing everyone around the world. It's just, it's so much sports. It's one thing that I really do think that I really was happy that I was able to go to.
Well, I'm glad you got that experience as well. And there'll be more. Okay, how has fighting at a world-class level impacted you personally?
Impacted me. You got the, how do I say it? Like, it impacted me very, very well.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, you start to see so much.
Right.
I mean, especially as a fighter, you start to really, really understand the sport.
Right.
Understand where you come from, understand traveling.
Yes.
Understand, like, I mean, there's always people when you fight wherever you go fighting at their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, at the same time, that there, I think that do bring a different type of feeling around you, and that's why I think it was for me something that I never had, that I was always missing, to have my own people behind
me,
to have them in there cheering for me. That's just something that I think I really always wanted. And I mean, seeing other people doing it, like I said, it was
you wanted that for yourself. Yeah, I get that. And, you know, when I have conversations about you, people always say, you know, that's a humble fella.
Yeah.
And that's what they associate with you, that's right? Like being grounded, down to earth, and that should never change.
No matter what comes, I feel like even if I try to be something different, I don't think it'll happen.
No, because of where you come from.
It's just,
right.
I'm just that type of guy. I'm just more laid back, chilled, and.
Well, it definitely says that right now. Like, you're really chilled. You're comfortable. I'm glad that for that. But, yeah, that's what people say about you, that you're very humble. So that speaks well. And so what is your training like coming up to this fight? What is? Do you have a regiment? Do you have a diet?
Yeah, it's a lot. usually we're training between 2 to 3 times a day.
Right. What does that look like?
It depends throughout the week. Usually Sundays are off. But throughout the week, you got your strength and conditioning training.
Right.
You have your training with the coaches. You have your sparring sessions.
Right.
And this is constantly every single day. Going off before when camp starts,
right,
a little easier.
Right.
I mean, I don't feel you got much stress.
Right.
Because like I said, you can eat what you want.
Right.
You can still do all that. It's starting to come towards the end. Like when it's around this time, when you're only like about a couple weeks out, is when it starts getting the pressure starts.
The pressure starts getting.
Start to understand that, okay, the fight's really, really approaching now. It's time to really zone in, and all the, you got to just take everything away and just
discipline
the fight. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your physical. Now, how is your mental health?
The mental's good.
Yeah.
The mental's always been. I mean, I think I look at myself as, to be real, I mean, I've always thought that I was mentally strong. I mean,
right.
I've been through a lot. A lot of stuff that people don't even know.
Right.
But like I said, I've always been able to
bounce back,
thinking and just focus on what's in front of me and what's next and what's important. And that's something that I've always really focused on.
That reminds me of our Black History Month theme, actually, right? Our joy, our smiles, which you have a great smile, by the way, so do not get hit in the mouth. Great smile. our smiles, our joy, our resilience as African Nova Scotians. What do you think about that?
That's, like I said, it's always a blessing. I mean, like I said, it wouldn't ask for nothing more.
Right.
I mean, especially coming from where I come from and all the ups and downs that we've always had. And
as a people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And everyone always trying to change stuff. I mean, like I said, just the way the world is going now, you just got to be grateful and thankful for the people that actually made a change.
Yes.
And for us to be where we're at today.
Right. Great answer. Now let's get talking to your about your coaches, because you're still training. You do training with Kirk and his dad, right?
Yes, which is my uncle.
Which is your uncle, yes. Right on. So it's a family affair.
Yes.
So let's talk about them.
We've been there since day one, but I do have my other coach since I've been with Eric Belanger. He's also from he's from Ottawa.
Yes.
But he's been with me since day one. He's been a great guy. But like I said, my uncle, Gary Johnson, that's who actually taught me what I know now.
Right.
Him and Kurt always been a big role model to a role model to me. And like I said, them guys been very good
very
people
good,
in my life.
He's like a legend around here. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In regards to training with them, right? Like, how old were you when when this became an interest and then a profession?
I always say I was 9 years old.
Right.
Now, my uncle
would say,
he would say eight. Only because, which he's not lying, because I started the summer of, my birthday's October.
Right.
I started around, I think it was August.
Yes.
So I was eight.
Right.
I turned nine in October. So to me, I say nine.
Right.
Like I said, we had that back and forth all the time.
So then what is that story? Like, did you go up and say, I want to do this? Or you just kind of just beat people up?
No,
like, what
no,
did you?
No. I actually had an older cousin. I was nine. He was 12.
Yes.
Lucas Downey, he passed away.
Okay.
Condolences. Older cousin that used to box. And we only lived about probably 5-10 minutes from the gym. He used to walk there. He walked there one day, and his mom and my mom lived beside each other.
Right.
He come home one day, and he said he saw this boxing gym that he went to, and he liked it. He asked me to come with him one day, and at first I was like, no, I didn't want to. I ended up going there with him, and my mom let me go with him. And when I went from that day, I mean, I walked in. We didn't know nobody, and I just started going. Then I seen my uncle. He come over to me, and I guess he could see from the resemblance. And he's like, he asked me, he said, who's your dad?
Who are you people?
Yeah. So then when I told him, he said, I'm your great uncle.
Wow.
So then that's how we got into that there. And then ever since then, we just clicked and he's always been behind me.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's an awesome story. Thanks for sharing that. I'm going to throw two names at you. Muhammad Ali.
Got to say the greatest of all time.
The greatest, yes, yes. What do you like about his career, his measure of resilience and getting there, and then you know, knowing that he passed on and left a great legacy in his daughter as well. So, how do you, what's your thoughts?
And I think everyone looks at things so differently. I mean, if you talk about the boxing side, I mean, like I said, he was a great, great fighter. I mean, everything he's done, especially in that time, for him to do it.
Right, in that era,
it was way different. But I think it was more of what he done outside of the ring. I think just the way he carried himself, the way he stood up for himself, I think that.
And his people.
Yes, I think that was one of the bigger things that changed a lot, especially even with the boxing and what we do in boxing now.
Right. And the reason why I bring him up is because, you know, you spoke to that in terms of, like, boxing isn't just a career, right? And when you guys have these platforms, right, what are you doing with that? Like, what do you do with that?
And that's it. You try to, like I said, I mean, everyone say that I'm a little not too, because I'm not big on social media.
Right.
So everyone's like, you got to get on it. That's what it is. But when you have a platform like that, I guess at the same time, it's a showmanship.
Yes.
You have to show, you have to entertain, you have to do that there. That's what people like to do. But
you're a private person.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I think I can't get out of.
Right.
I mean, like I said, I'm still happy with where everything went at and the people that still support me and everyone that still believe in me. And like I said, I wouldn't ask for nothing no better.
You have a family to protect,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Like, so your sport is one thing, but your family is something else. So I respect that. I don't mind that at all. Okay, let's get back to a question. How have you changed as a fighter since your time off? Is there any change?
I think it just gives me, I wouldn't say a big change. I mean, because like I said, the hunger's always been there.
Yeah.
I know what I'm capable of. I know what I can do. I know where the future can bring me.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a change, but at the same time, it just helps me just reflect on myself.
Yeah.
I mean, reflect on myself and see what's outside of just the boxing world. I mean, like I said, I was boxing. Everything was just boxing. I didn't really see other stuff outside. And I think that's where it brought me back to seeing what's important. Not just boxing, but outside of boxing.
Right.
The kids, the family, enjoying yourself at the same time. Because that's something I used to sit back with, too, is I used to be, nope, I can't do this. I'm getting ready for a fight. I'm this. But now it's like I'm getting a little more comfortable.
Right. You're getting your flow.
So I think that's what it helped me realize, really.
I was making a joke with Ryan, one of our associates here in the studio, and I was like, I got this thing that I think I want to get him to sign, but, you know, and see if he can little, you know, kind of look a little spur. And I said, no, I can't do that. I don't want to break this bed up before he gets out of the way. So speaking of that, when you're out doing things, are you always conscious of, like, hurting yourself or – because you don't ever want to risk.
You don't. And the thing we do is when you sign a contract, all that stuff is in place.
Right, right.
They say, like I said, you can't skate, you can't play basketball.
Right.
It's a lot of stuff you can't
right,
do.
Right, right.
Now, do anyone really pay attention to it? I mean, like I said, but at the same time, this is your career.
Right.
So at the same time, if you feel you're going to do something that's going to hurt you, you're not going to do it.
Right.
I mean, but usually I just stay good and just try to make sure I'm not doing something that I feel would stop me from actually fighting.
So in the ring now, if you get hit in the head, because there was one fight where you got hit and you kind of lost your balance there a little bit, and I'm glad the ref called it the way he did, because your physical health is important, and we want you to be in your right frame of mind. What can you give me on that in terms of, like, because that could have been a risk if that ref didn't call that play, right?
And I think that's the thing that people don't realize. I mean, like I said, when we get in that ring,
right,
we get in that ring to perform, to do whatever, like, to win.
Right.
You know what I mean? You do all that there. I mean, but like I said, when you get hit in a spot like that there, there's nothing you can do about it.
But you don't want to keep getting hit.
But that's the thing, too. It's happy the referee did do it.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, but only because, like I said, at the same time, as a fighter, you always want to fight.
Right.
Our goal, like, no matter what we do, we're a fighter.
Right.
We fight all day. We don't give up. That's what we do. Right?
And the adrenaline's going. Yeah, right, yeah.
It's up to the other people that's in there to kind of say, like, you know what? I think this is the best. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
just to help us out.
Yeah.
And I think, because like I said, I've known a lot of fighters that actually been injured in boxing. I mean, it's fighters that got very, very hurt from getting hit behind the head.
And, like, yeah, absolutely.
Said, people don't really, really, at the time, don't really look at what it means to be hit behind the head.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it's almost like brain damage,
that's
right?
That's a spot where you
want to get hit. Right, absolutely, absolutely. So all the rules, because I'm sure there's a lot of rules, I'll get hit below the belt, like all these different rules kind of thing. That's something that you guys are trained up knowing, or how do you know what the do's and don'ts are?
You're trained up there. I mean, like I said, they always look at it, this part of the body right down here is where you're at.
Okay.
Off here. So, I mean, anything
from here, okay,
is not allowed. I mean, like I said, sometimes the referee either don't see it, either don't call it. But, I mean, it's something that's hard to really really see. But, I mean, like I said, it's just the main stick focus as a fighter is getting out the ring and being able to go back home healthy and just enjoy your life.
Okay. And who are you looking forward to fighting as an opponent?
To be real with you, I've had it for a while.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at is a guy from Britain.
Okay. Connor Benton.
That's who he's been around for a while.
Now, is he participating in this upcoming fight?
No.
Okay, but this is something you're aspiring to.
He fights the day after me, actually.
Oh, really?
In Vegas, yes.
Okay, okay.
But that is someone that I would love to fight.
Okay,
I would love to fight him.
Well, as they say, let your wishes come true. but he would be in the same category as you, correct? Yeah, okay. No, that's good. I like that. Okay. So moving right along here, because I'm loving these questions and these answers. How important is this fight for you? And we may have already touched it, you know, because of being in your hometown. But even just being in that, like when the lights come on and you're cheering and you're walking out there in your robe. And like, what is that like?
You know, I think that's something that you prepare for, because you don't want to get overwhelmed at the same time, because it is coming back home for the first time. So, I mean, on top of when you're fighting in other people's backyard, you don't have the same leading up to it, but you don't have to worry about the fans being yours.
Right, because they're yours.
Yeah, but when you come back here and it's your fans, you still have to make sure that you don't overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I mean? You
and show off, like, yeah.
You get excited, and it's like, I got to prove something to the fans.
Right.
Which could take you off of your game.
But that's what I'm, yeah.
So, like I said, I've been preparing for that. We've been doing a lot of mental stuff, a lot of that there. So, I mean, like I said, I want to keep everything there, but I also know that I can't let it
take overwhelm you. So the showmanship as opposed to the showing off. Yeah. No, again, that goes back to your humility, like being humble. And some fighters use that as one of their, you know, tactics.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
They
do. Yeah. And it may work, it may not work. It's different. Right?
Yeah, everyone have their own type of way. I mean, some people get up off of that, like really, really. But to me, I mean, it don't matter.
What can fans see or expect to see in this fight from you?
I think they'll see a little bit of the older me. When I say that, I mean see more aggressive.
Okay.
Still taking my time.
Yes.
That's a part of
well,
me.
Well, that, yeah.
That's a part of me. Start to see how I progress as they go on.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, just seeing what I've always done. And like I said, just don't forget what I'm always capable of doing. And just that's just the way I fight. So they'll be really, really excited. I think it's going to be a great fight. I think the guy also is going to come to fight. I mean,
right.
He's a tough guy.
Right.
He's always in shape. And I think he's going to come to push. And
he's coming to fight. Right.
I think he's going to get up a little more.
Yes.
And like I said, that's something I can't let
him. But you've been preparing for that.
Yes. I can't let him come here and try to take something.
Oh, yeah. We can say that for you. You can't come in and take it. No, I'm all about it. I'm here for you. We love you. We appreciate the fact that, you know, that you stepped out, right? And went after something that you dreamed of, right? And still aspired to do, right? So we can never say enough about our own. Like, we really can. And so, you know, thank you for being in the studio. What would you say to those who are watching, the younger versions of you?
What I would say is, I mean, just take any advice that you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, when I was young, you always think that you know a little too much. But then as you go and when you do figure it out, I just think that, like I said, I just think that you just take everything you got to learn and just always try to be the best version of yourself.
Of yourself, yeah.
I mean, like I said, I mean, it's always, you want to always be better than everybody else. But like something I always say is the main thing is who you want to be better than is someone that you were yesterday.
Say that one more time. I like it.
Yeah, you should be always better than the person that you were yesterday.
Right on. I like that. I used to use something like that when I was, designing. It's my trade, fashion designing. It's like I'm as good as the last sketch fashion that I did. So I totally resonate with that. What would you say to the young males or females who are in the streets and having a hard time and they're you know, just fighting within themselves to be something? What would you say to them to make positive use of those energies?
Like I said, I think one of the biggest things as well is having your own mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, doing things that you feel is gonna benefit you,
mm-hmm.
and not trying to make other people happy
or impress people.
Impress people, yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people are missing. Is like, you know what? You're always going to have your people around you, but the main thing is you got to do what's best for you and just making sure that you're happy and, yeah.
Yeah, be your original self. So I have a little thing here that I would like to give out to the community at one of our functions, and I'm hoping that you would be gracious enough to sign that before you leave out here today. Yes, would that
I
be
will.
Okay?
I will.
Okay.
I think when I was young, I had a one.
You, but you know what? Remember those, what was it, the Flintstone bouncy? Yeah, you punch. Yeah. I punched out the thing. Bounce back? I forgot it. But yes, these are great things to have, and thank you for doing that. And then I think one of the last things that I want to ask you, would you come back?
I would.
Would you come back after the fight?
I would. Yes. Okay. It was great. Like I said, you were amazing, and like I said, I would come back, and I would love to come back, actually.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'm amazing because you're amazing. This was a great conversation. Thank you for sharing your story. Thank you for being here today. We wish you nothing but the best because in our eyes, you are our champion.
Thank you. Thank you.
And there you have it, folks. We're here at Mucho African Radio, Halifax, Nova Scotia, with our very special guest today before his fight on February 2nd, 2024. If you do not have your tickets, get out and get your tickets. Castillo, why don't you tell them where they can find their tickets?
You can get the tickets from Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster, you go on there. You got to follow the instruction, but you can get the tickets there. And like I said, I hope to see everyone there. I mean, like I said, it's been a long time coming, and I just appreciate the love that I've always gotten from everybody. And like I said, I hope to see you there.
And we hope to see you there because your boy needs you. Our fighter needs you. Okay, thank you. Tune in for our next time on the show here at A Seat at the Table.